tonight. Are you ready to hear the word? Let's pray for the word. Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning. We pray that you download what's on your heart for us. Let this word change us and transform us today. Father, we declare that your word will bring something of God in our lives. It will change our perspective. It will change our way of looking at life because your word is alive. We receive it today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go straight into the word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 6. What is the background of this story? Genesis chapter 32, verse 6. This is the story of Jacob. Jacob ran away from his family. Jacob ran away from Canaan after he had stolen his brother's birthright, Esau. He went into a far-off country by the name of Pan-Adam, I think, a place where he got married, he got two wives, and he stayed with his father-in-law for 20 years. Jacob stayed with his father-in-law for 20 years. And at the end of the 20th year, Jacob was feeling disgruntled. He was saying, it is time for me to go back home. God appeared to him and said, go back to Canaan. Okay. Now we find Jacob taking his two wives, his two slave girls and his slaves and animals and his sons. And he went off. And he knew he was going to meet up with his brother. And now here we find Jacob afar off, and he's knowing that his brother is somewhere in the vicinity. And he had sent some of his guys, please go and speak to my brother Esau and tell him, I want to offer you something. And then Esau gave him an answer. And now verse 6 of Genesis 32, that is where we catch the story. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you. As if to say, your brother Esau is ready to meet you, and it doesn't sound great. Your brother is coming to meet you, and it doesn't sound nice. And Jacob remembers how he left Canaan. He was running away from his brother, remember? And his brother was very angry with him. And he had vowed that I want to catch up with this young brother of mine, and I will take him out. So he knew the state in which he had left Esau 20 years ago. Somebody, you left home 20 years ago and you know you did not live in a good way. And you dread meeting certain people because of the way you left home. Maybe because of the way you left a certain city. Some of you relocated from Kimberley. And you're afraid to go back to Kimberley because the way you left wasn't in the best of states. Maybe you borrowed money. And you're afraid that when they see you, the first thing they'll ask you is, payback time. Some of you came from KZN or from Cape Town, and you're like, I'm not going back to Chaos River. Okay, I came from Cape Town as well. All right, so Jacob, in his heart of hearts, he was concerned about what his brother was going to do to him. So here his guys came back. We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you. And he's not coming alone. He is coming with 400 men with him. If you are told that the person you owe has got legal wise, he's got clientele legal, he's got all the lawyers lined up against you, your life won't be the same. Verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. So he said, I'm going to make a plan. I don't want to lose everything. If he catches one band, the other band will survive. So Jacob being Jacob is making a plan. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and strikes it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, Jehovah, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I'll deal well with you. Verse 10, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have done to your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I've come two bands. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Why? For I fear him. I fear Esau. lest he come and strike me from mother to sons. Let's go to verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two slave women and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the stream and sent over what he had. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled there with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go." So he was afraid and distressed. He was fearful of his brother. He was left alone. And now he's putting a demand. "I will not let you go, except you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For like a prince, you have power with God and with men, and have prevailed." And Jacob asked and said, "I pray you, reveal your name." And he said, "Why do you ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Very interesting story, because every time the scriptures were referring to this angel, it was using a capital letter. In other words, it wasn't just an ordinary angel. It was Jesus incarnate. It was God who came down, because he was talking about, the Bible here is giving him capital letters all the way through. And he refused to give his name. Now, we've just come out of a series where we're dealing with faith. And you can agree with me that faith is a major building block for a believer. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And now today we are starting on a new series. But I want to question you. I want to start off with this question. What do you do when you are in a fix? What do you do when you are in a difficult space? What do you do when doors seem to be closing all the time in your life? What do you do when it looks like it's a war zone in your bedroom? What do you do when it looks like going to work is a drag because you are not seeing eye to eye with your work colleagues? You are not seeing eye to eye with your boss. You dread to wake up in the morning. What do you do? What do you do when you've been searching and looking for a job for a long time and the job seems to elude you? Hello? What do you do when, if you're a student, you've been trying to crack this exam and this subject, it seems to be eluding you all the time? What do? You try a business, it works for 6 months, and then freezes away. What do you do? What do you do when there is a constant pain in your body to the extent that you're now taking ownership of it? And you say, "This BP of mine. This high blood pressure of mine." What do you do when there's turmoil in your extended family and you're no longer coming together as you used to do? What do you do? Now, knowingly or unknowingly, people develop survival mechanisms. People develop coping mechanisms. For some of us are well connected. The moment we have a financial problem, we have people who prop us. We have parents who are well-to-do, or we have uncles who are well-to-do. They are always there to prop us up so that we can see the end of the month, because our finances seem to be shorter than the length of the month, and we call on those uncles. Some of us have got aunties who are well-to-do, aunties who are good at listening. And whenever there's a marital problem, the first person you talk to is your auntie. Why? Because she listens all the time. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with all of these self-help mechanisms. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. But I've come to see and to realize that there's one major weapon. There's one major place that God has created for his people, and the people of God should see that place as their sole place to get solutions. And I call that place a secret place. It is called a secret place. And this morning, I want to kickstart this series entitled The Secret Place. strategies for the secret place. Hallelujah. Have you heard about the secret place before? And for the coming 6 weeks or so, we're going to be dealing with this issue called the secret place. And I'm saying strategies for the secret place because many people don't know what to do with their secret place. They don't know how to survive their secret place. And that is why we don't want to be in the secret place. What is a secret place? From time to time, the Lord Jesus would allude to the secret place, and he is referring to a time of prayer, a place of prayer. Go with me to Matthew 6, verse 5. We are talking about strategies for the secret place, for you to get results from your secret place. And when you pray, I like it because the Lord Jesus doesn't say, if you pray. If he had used the term, the word if, it was almost like it's optional to pray. But he uses the term when you pray. Child of God, the issue of prayer is not an if. There's an expectation in heaven for you and I to pray. And the Lord Jesus said, when you pray. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. In other words, there are different ways of praying. You can either pray as a true believer or you can pray like a hypocrite. Many of us have been praying. We've been having secret places, but they're not really secret. We are doing it in a hypocritical way. Now he says here, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, God church, but you, children of the Most High God, when you pray, go into your room. I remember when I was in high school, before I became a prefect in 1995, I used to go to the toilet cubicles, and I would pray. I'm talking about 93, 94 there. I was in a dormitory of, how many boys were there? Probably 21 boys in that dormitory. I was in boarding school. I was hungry for God. I did not allow myself to be stuck in there. I used to pray with my blanket over, but I said, no, I'm going to go to the toilets. I would go to my room, and my room was the toilet. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. So your Father knows about the secret place. In other words, he is found in the secret place. And pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Your Father who hears in secret will reward you openly. Now, write this down. Your prayer life is one of the most private affairs of your life, which has the most impact on your public life. Let that sink in for a moment. Your prayer life is one of the most private affairs of your life, which has the most impact on your public life. And I'm talking about privacy. And the impact what happens in the privacy has on what happens in public. If it doesn't work in privacy, sorry, it won't work in public. Many believers want results in public, but they are not doing what is expected of them in privacy. And this morning, I want you to know that prayer is one of the private affairs of your life that has the greatest impact on your public affairs. When I look at you in public, you are a byproduct of your private affairs. If your private affairs are not in order, guess what? Your public affairs will be out of order as well. That is why we have so many believers who try and wink it. They try and manufacture victories in public, but it doesn't work. Why? Because it's not working back at the ranch. It's not working back in your private place. Now listen, each person ought to have a prayer life. Why? Because if your life is prayerless, your life is empty and powerless. A prayerless believer is a powerless believer. A prayerless believer is an empty believer. Why? Because the moment you do not ring home, you don't know what home wants you to do here on earth. The moment you stop calling home, the moment you stop calling the heavens, you don't know what heaven wants you to do on earth. And this morning, I want us to understand as a church that a prayerless church is a powerless church. That church will try and do all sorts of gimmicks for the church to grow. The pastor of that church will try and get power somewhere else to come and blow into people's faces for people to fall in the power. The power which is not the power of God. What am I talking about today? The secret place. The secret place. Listen to me. Your level of maturity is not determined by how much of scriptures you know. Your level of maturity is not determined by how many times you come to church every single year. Your level of maturity is determined by how much time you spend in your private place, in your secret place. Glory be to God. Why am I saying this? You can read as many words, as much word as possible, and you won't pray. But it is impossible for you to pray long enough and not wanting to go into the word. Why? Because when you spend enough time in the secret place, your heart wants more of God. And guess what? The word of God is God. When you spend time in your secret place, it changes your priorities in life. What am I saying today? Don't be fooled by people coming to church on a Sunday and you think they are mature. You've got to peel that layer and say, what happens behind the doors? What happens in the secret place? Do these people have a secret place of their own? Hello? Where we read in Genesis, we find Jacob on a journey back home. Going back home was not an easy thing for Jacob to do, because he knew that back home there was a guy who wasn't happy with him. Now, Jacob had a reputation of always making a plan in order to make it in life. Many believers are like that. Jacob had a reputation of making a plan. When he needed to get the birthright, what did he do? He got his mama involved. And he stole the birthright from Esau. When he went down into the life of Laban, a lot of stuff happened. Jacob was known for always making a plan. And this morning, I want you to know many believers are like that. We make plans. Mark a plan. Make a plan. Make it work. And they'll tell you, fake it until you make it. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. Don't fake it until you make it. You got to do what you need to do. Glory be to God. I don't advocate the faking until you make it mechanism. No. You've got to be real. What people see should be what you are. If you are struggling, you need to tell us that you are struggling so that you get help. If you keep on faking it and things are rotting underneath that curtain, nobody will come and help you. What am I talking about today? Our inclination is to try to make things work in our own strength. That is why there's no prayer in church. That is why we try all sorts of mechanisms to make things work. We will even try and bribe people to come to church. Why? We are making a plan. We are making a plan for ourselves. We try to have natural solutions to all the challenges that we face. Could that be the reason why we haven't been praying? And I want you to know that natural solutions work until a certain point. Take this note. Take down this one. God is calling believers to move from the realm of natural-based solutions to the realm of secret-place solutions. I want to repeat that. God is calling you to move away from always making a plan for yourself and move into the dimension where you make plans in the secret place. And God goes before you. One of the reasons why there is no difference between a saved and a believer and a non-believer, it is the issue of lack of prayer. I want you to know, as long as you do not pray, there will be no difference between you and your non-believing friends. You will fight on the same platform. You will fight for the same outcome. But the moment you step out of that natural way of doing things and you get into the secret place, that is the distinction. Amen. Glory be to God. There will be no difference between you and your uncle as long as you live like your uncle. The difference will come when you say, I'm going to go into my secret place. I'm going to go into a place of prayer. But today, many believers are not prepared to pay the price. People want the anointing, but the anointing is costly. The anointing is expensive. We start cutting corners in order to prove that we have the anointing. Does somebody hear me this morning? God is calling believers to move from the realm of natural-based solutions to the realm of secret place solutions. When you spend long enough time in your secret place, that you get divine ideas. You get spiritually charged ideas. You go to work and you present an idea and they say to you, how did you get to this kind of an idea? What was the difference between Joseph and anybody else in the house of Potiphar or in the house of Pharaoh? Joseph had the Spirit of God. And when Pharaoh had the dreams, Joseph had the Spirit of God. Joseph knew that God is able to show results, to show the answers to this dream. Joseph consulted God. Joseph called upon God. He went back to Pharaoh and he gave a heavenly appointed solution. And Pharaoh said, you have to lead this process, for there is no one who has the spirit of the gods like you. There was a distinction between Joseph and anybody else. What am I saying today? If you want natural results, keep on doing what you're doing. But if you want spiritually charged results that distinguishes you from anybody else, go into the secret place. If our church is to see a different result, this church needs to start praying. This church has to start praying. We can go out there and do pancakes. We can go out there and give flyers. But if there's no prayer behind that flyer will find its way into the bin. And nobody will come. And what will happen is the church gets discouraged. And God looks at you and says, why are you so discouraged? Have you spoken to me about the flyers? No, you haven't. You said, we've done it before. We've done this before. We know how it works. We don't even pray for strategies and blueprint for this environment. We don't do that. Why? We have done it before. Jacob says, I've done this before. But Jacob was facing a different situation. Jacob was about to confront Esau, his brother, and he realized that his natural tendencies were not going to cut it. There is coming a time in your life, child of God, that you'll grow so tired of not getting results and you'll have to look somewhere else. He realized that his natural tendency of always making a plan was not going to cut it. In Genesis 32, verse 7 and verse 11, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. That was the condition that changed everything. He was afraid, he was distressed. And he divided the people with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. Verse 11, he cried out, deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and strike me from mother to sons. Does somebody need deliverance today? Where you're saying, Father, if you do not come through for me, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Sometimes these credit cards have taken us away from our knees. You look at your account and you say, you know what, I'm going to go into my credit card. Your credit card has become your God. Where is the true God? The one who says, I will make a way for you. Where is that God? He says, I'm found in the secret place. Glory be to God. Jacob was afraid. Jacob was distressed. Jacob was fearful of his brother. You have Esau's that you are afraid of and you don't know how to deal with them. Until you come to that place of desperation, you will not create a secret place. Take note of this. Until you are desperate enough for divine intervention, for your situation, you will not create a secret place for yourself. Until you're tired of failing, until you're tired of being on the same level all the time, you will not create a secret place for yourself. Jacob said, my trickery won't work. My experience won't work. My degree won't work. My skills won't work. My experience won't work. I need heaven. When this church realizes that in the absence of us calling upon heaven, things will not change, we'll start praying. I'm baffled. I am baffled by what happens sometimes in our churches. We call for prayer here 8:40 in the morning. Nobody pitches up. Yet we want to walk in here and serve God and expect the power of God to move. I'm baffled by that. I don't get it. Why the church of Christ, the church of God, that knows that the only way to get heaven involved is by prayer, the church does not pray. The Lord Jesus came into the temple one day and he found them exchanging gifts. And he was so angry, he kicked the tables around and he says, you have defiled my father's house. My father's house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, when you know that I'm serving God, when you know that I'm serving before the Almighty God and he knows what I need to do, why don't you pray in the mornings? Why don't you come here for prayer? When we know that the power is in prayer, maybe we don't know. That is why we don't come for Ignite. An event that happens once every month. There are churches that meet every single week for prayer. In the absence of you pushing in the spirit man, there are some things that will never happen. I want you to realize that people don't pray because they lack a sense of urgency. When you're like, it cannot remain like this. We have allowed the status quo to remain for too long. We have become very comfortable with what is happening around us, the ordinary type of life. What happened to the God who was walking with Peter? What happened to the God who was walking with Philip? The God would rapture Philip to go to preach somewhere. What happened to the God of Simon who would lift a person who was sick and crippled and he prayed for him? The reason why we don't see these things, it is because the church does not know what is called a secret place. You've been engaged in that business for 6 years, but nothing is coming out of it. Are you not tired? I'm talking about the secret place this morning. Listen to me, write this down. A secret place is a place where heaven meets earth. And the influence of heaven is permitted to influence the activities of earth. A secret place is a place where heaven kisses earth. Your secret place is a portal. It is a place where heaven gets deposited on earth. And then the influence of heaven is experienced. In the absence of you creating an altar or a portal in your house is a no-go area for heavenly activities. The church, that type of a church, is a no-go area for heavenly activities. We pray, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is it that God does not see that this church is in need of a breakthrough? God sees it, but he will not move until we create an altar for him here. Does somebody hear me today? Until you create a portal that he can come and have that intersection between heaven and earth, nothing will change. Why? It is illegal for God to operate here on earth without us opening up to his will. Why? The Bible says he has given the earth unto man and he kept the heavens of heavens unto himself. That is what prayer does, people of God. God, church, prayer will open heaven to operate over this church. If we don't have prayer warriors, intercessors over this church, we'll just become an ordinary church that goes into a maintenance mode with no revival, with no impact in our community. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this church as it is in heaven. I want you to know when a church is a prayerful church, it mirrors what happens in heaven. Because that church knows what is happening in heaven. When that church does not pray, it mirrors themselves. Because you find the flesh in operation. What am I saying today? A secret place is a place where heaven and earth intersect. When the church creates an altar of prayer, it becomes a point of contact. It becomes a point of intimacy where God comes and deposits himself in that environment. You go into certain churches and the airwaves are open. It is so easy to preach in those environments. It is a place saturated with prayer. You go into other churches where it is heavy to preach. It's almost like your preaching is hitting against a brazen heaven. It's not going through. Nobody is listening to you. It is because it's a sign of prayerlessness. Now, Jacob reached a level of desperation that said to himself, it can't be business as usual. In your marriage, you've got to say, it can't be business as usual. I can't be going round and round and round in the same place. And yet I say, I'm a believer. I'm a child of the Most High God. When people come to me, do they see the fruit that is of God? Listen to me. Genesis 32, verse 22. The Bible says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives. Let me put this in brackets. The fact that Jacob had two wives doesn't make it right for us to have two wives, or for us to have three wives, or for us to have six wives. That was the cost of life. In the eyes of God, it was meant to be one husband, one wife. The Old Testament is a recording of the activities of man. And therefore, it has to be accurate enough to reflect the ups and downs of the activities of man. So the fact that David had 700 concubines or whoever, I don't know, Solomon, it doesn't mean that was the will of God. God was actually telling them, it is not good for you to have too many wives because they'll lead you astray. Put that in a parenthesis, in a bracket, just to clarify a few things. Now, the Bible says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two slave women, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the stream, and sent over what he had. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. The situation was so dire that Jacob did not want any distractions around him. Jacob did not want any distractions around him. And he sent his two wives. He sent everybody away and says, you know what? It is time for me to do business with God. When last did you allow yourself to be isolated in order to be in the presence of the Most High God? When last did you shut the door? You closed the door. You tell your kids, you're not coming into my room. Mama is praying. Jacob was left alone. The church is distracted. The church is into this celebrity church, celebrity pastors. We are concerned about image. We are concerned about how we look like on Facebook, but there's nothing really going on in the spirit. Believers are spending more time on Facebook and less time in the secret place. Before they even engage the heaven, they engage Facebook. Facebook is becoming a god to us. And the Bible says you shall have no other God except me. We practice contemporary idolatry these days. I'm talking about the secret place that every believer ought to have. Oh, look at this, Matthew 6:6. I've alluded to this already, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret. When you have shut your door, you've got to shut out certain things from your life. What reasons do we have for not praying? What excuses do we have? And Jesus is saying, it is time for you to shut out those excuses. To say, I don't have time. I wake up early in the morning. I need to go to work. When you are desperate enough, you will pray. When this church is desperate for change, we will pray. as it looks like we are not yet there. We are not yet desperate enough for the power of God, where we're saying, Lord, let every sick person who walks through that door receive healing. That will only happen when there are people who want to shut reasons out. Excuses. I work long hours. I have kids to look after. I have a house to clean. I have a husband to look after. I have a boss who wants me to work long hours. But where is God in that picture? When are you going to say, I have a God who wants me? I have a God who wants my time. Everybody else is getting a share of your time, but God. That is why Jesus would say, anyone who wants to be my disciple cannot put their hands on the plow and look back. They are not worthy to be my disciple. Anyone who loves their mama, their papa, their kids more than me are not ready to be my disciples. What Jesus was saying, I don't want competition. When there's competition in our hearts, God moves back. It's either he's Lord of all or he's Lord of none. That is the kind of walk that we need to take on as believers right now. What happened to that old-time believer? What happened to that old-time believer who will go on a time of fasting by themselves? That time of that believer who would ask the pastor for church keys, the pastor, I want to go to church and pray. Not once have I heard somebody asking for church keys to come and pray. What has happened to us? We are busy. We are so, so busy. And when we are so busy for God, God can also look like he's so busy for us. He might look like he does not have time for me. It might look like he does not have ears for me. But he's saying, do you have ears for me? Can you listen to me when I speak to you? Hello? Put this down. Certain spiritual barriers and forces of opposition can only be dealt with in the secret place. Certain barriers, certain spiritual oppositions can only be dealt with in the secret place. Let me tell you something about secret places. Everybody has a secret place. Non-believers have secret places. They have altars that they have created for their gods. And they sacrifice on those altars for them to be promoted at work. You do not have your own altar, and you think you can stand in that workplace and be promoted? There's just too much naivety in the body of Christ where we do not build altars for ourselves in order to counteract the altars of the enemy. You remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, where Baal and his prophets came. They were doing their thing. They wanted fire to come down. And Elijah said, let the God who answers by fire be the true God. Can we say that? When there's contestation at work, and you know, you have opened certain drawers at work and you have seen muti there. Do you bring your own muti? Who do you bring with to work? Who do you go with into that business engagement? You better bring Jesus there. Because if you go by yourself, you will not stand the muti. We talk about powers, principalities, and kings in the heavenly places. There is a real world out there that we cannot see. And as believers, the moment we apprehend that, we will go down on our knees before we engage somebody. We build altars unto God. So I'm saying here, certain spiritual barriers and forces of opposition can only be dealt with in that secret place. If you have been experiencing barriers, opposition, resistance, it is simply telling you it's time to go back to the secret place. It's simply an indicator that says you are fighting principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, the Bible says positionally, we are seated together with Christ above all these principalities, positionally. But there is work that needs to be done for you to experience the outworking of that position, and that's what prayer does. Prayer positions you to experience what is due to you, due to your position with the Lord. The Bible says, in my name, you shall lay hands upon the sick, and the sick shall be healed. But it's not every time that you lay hands in the name of Jesus that you get results. Why? It is because when you say in the name of Jesus, you are saying in the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus, the character that I believe in, the character that I submit myself to, in the name of that character and the nature of Jesus, therefore we command things to happen and things will listen. When we do not position ourselves aright vis-a-vis the name of Jesus, it will not work. The scriptures are there for to show that the sons of Sceva, these were sons of rabbi, sons of a priest. They saw a demon-possessed guy, and they said, in the name of Jesus, who is preached by Paul, we command you to go. And the demon spoke back, but the name of Jesus was evoked. Why was there no result? The demon said to him, we look in the spirit, we cannot locate you. Paul we know, Jesus we know, but we don't know you. So when you pray, you are elevating your spiritual authority, and you're able to deal with different principalities. When we don't understand that, we will not pray. We then want to cast out demons, we want to pray for people, and there are no results. Why? Because you're dealing with a higher dimension of principalities that you haven't attained in the spirit. Your spiritual authority is determined by how much time you spend in the presence of God. Certain spiritual barriers and forces of opposition can only be dealt with in the secret place. The reason why it is called the secret place, it is because this happens in the absence of people. This happens in your heart. This happens when it is you and God alone. Jacob was left by himself. And what I really love about this is that the moment that Jacob decided to be alone, heaven's attention was drawn. The day that you decide to pray, I want you to know heaven's attention will be drawn to you. Heaven's attention will be drawn to you. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. The moment you decide, child of God, tonight, when you say, Lord, I'm going to create a secret place where you and I have an intimate moment, the heavens will be drawn to that place. I know I have an appointment with the Lord every single morning. Whether I'm tired, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, I walk down to my place of prayer, because when I do that all the time, I'm creating a secret place. I'm creating and I'm attracting heaven, and heaven waits for me in that place. What am I saying today? You need a secret place. Next week, I'm going to take you through the characteristics of a secret place. The characteristics of a secret place. And we're going to believe God that our eyes will get opened and we'll have a hunger and a thirst for this place called the secret place. For this thing called prayer. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and depart from their iniquities and call upon me, I will hear from heaven. I will come down and heal their land. God wants to heal our land. God wants to heal you. But the starting point, we can see the qualifications. Are you called by his name? Do you belong to Jesus? Secondly, are you humble? Thirdly, have you confessed your sins? Fourthly, have you called upon his name? Then the hearing will happen. So what am I saying today? It cannot be business as usual if we are to be spiritually charged people of God. It cannot be business as usual if we are to see results in our lives. You see your child struggling at school, but you've never gone on a 10-day fast for your child. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? You're seeing your husband is struggling, but you've never gone on a prolonged time of seeking the face of God for him. If you don't pray for your husband, who is going to pray for him? You've seen the church struggling financially, but you've never taken time out to pray for the church. If you don't, who's going to pray? I'm sounding angry, but I'm not. I'm just passionate about it. I want us to stand up today. I want us to make a commitment. I want us to cry out to the God of heaven. I want us to cry to the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and ask him and say, create in me, oh God, a hunger and a thirst for you. Give me the grace. I pray for the spirit of grace and supplication over my life, Lord. Lord, it cannot be the same, year in, year out. No, we refuse to be like that. We refuse to be a religious people who do not connect with heaven. That's not your portion this morning. You can cry out to God and he will give you a heart for prayer. The disciples were challenged by the praying of Jesus and they said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray, oh God. I'm going to be teaching you strategies of the secret place that will leave you not the same. But you have to be willing and say, Lord, I'm afraid about this secret place issue. I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it. Oh, Father God, we pray today. Come on out, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord today. My God, my Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need you today. We ask you, Lord, that you move by your power. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, I pray right now. I ask for the burning of the Holy Ghost over our lives, over the church, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are powerless, but you are powerful. Lord, we cry out to you today in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, I pray today that you reveal yourself, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Malato saharabokota. Yendarabaha selemon reboka shita la laboseke. We pray for the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we pray for an awakening over the church this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, move by your power in this place, never to be the same again. Deliver us from laziness, where we are lazy in the spirit. We pray that we'll be strong. Holy Spirit of God, we need you this morning. You are a good God. You are faithful. I pray for revival over this church. I pray for revival over men in this church. I pray for revival over women in this church. I pray for revival over the children in this church. Awaken us, oh God. Awaken us, Lord. Do something of God in our lives, oh God. Never to be the same again. Never to be the same again, oh God. Meladaboho sandarabo. Kemalalabo sendrabahatalabo seke. Rabahandarabalabo seke rabasa. Lord, let prayer arise. Let prayer arise in this church. Let prayer arise, oh God. Let husband and wife pray together once again. Let husband and wife pray together once again. I pray that families will start praying together once again. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for a new level of hunger in the hearts of your people. Mighty God, you're faithful. You do miracles so great. Great is thy faithfulness, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.